Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right. It's a Wednesday. Happy hump day. Middle of the week. It's a slot pit out there. Kind of like it. Nice little cool rain yesterday. Did it ever stop?
No, I don't think it ever did. No.
Never dissipated.
No, never stopped, never ended, never let up, and it's still going a little bit this morning.
Love it. Good thing Mac mowed last week.
Yeah, no doubt, man.
Mowing Mac.
Yeah, because you're not mowing this week, I'll tell you.
Not until Friday.
Well, at least. I mean, if it's dry enough on Friday, the last thing you want to do is farm your yard, you know?
I feel bad because I feel like Monday we hit a very hilarious audio clip from the people. I assume a lot of you are out there that are probably smarter than we are.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Bears played the Cowboys this weekend, right? Yeah, Caleb Williams. Now everybody in Chicago's back, right?
No, they're not.
Okay, they're still mad.
Who do the Bears play this week?
I don't know.
Okay, they're not playing Dallas this week. They're not playing the Giants this week.
But you know those Chicagoans, right?
The Chicago fans, they act like they just won touchdowns. The World Series or the Super Bowl. I mean, they don't have much to cheer about up there in Chicago when it comes to their football side of things. So the Raiders in Vegas. That's an interesting game right there. By the way, I'm taking the Giants over the Chargers this week, and I'm just going to put that out there. This has got everything for an upset brewing. The Chargers have to fly across country. They're 3-0. It's the Giants. They suck. Classic look ahead, change at quarterback. I really like the Giants this week to beat the Chargers. I feel like this is a prime upset ready to happen.
Are you marking this?
Yeah.
I'm marking it right now.
Put it on there. If he's right, genius. If he's wrong, we've got a little bit of a funny bit.
Yeah.
You can't lose in this situation.
No, but I mean, I was thinking about it this morning. I'm like, God, this has got everything. I mean, this is like Justin Herbert going into the game and you know, playing out his ass against the Chiefs for the first time, right? Yeah. You don't know what a backup quarterback's going to do. You just don't know what a starting pitcher's going to do. You know, we see this all the time in baseball, right? These young guys come up and they just mow down the Royals, and you're like, where the hell did this guy come from? I knew nothing about him. Nobody knows.
I know what Dart's going to do.
He's going to dart it all over
sling
the yard. He's going to sling it. Yeah.
Dayball's going out there too and going, hey man, it doesn't matter what you do. It does. If you are awesome, then I succeed. But you aren't going to be awesome unless I let you just go be awesome.
Right.
And maybe he is, maybe he's not. Because I thought the funny picture yesterday on the internet when it came out that he was going to start was the picture. Are you guys Star Wars guys?
Yeah.
So Anakin Skywalker in the episode, what is it, episode 3? when he's turned to the dark side, and it was Darth's face on Anakin with the little eye black.
Oh, I like that. That's really good.
It's time.
It is. Yeah, yeah. That is really good.
All right, there you go.
No, it is. I think it'll be interesting to see what he can do. But this is one of those classic games that you see over the years, and you're like, I can't believe the Giants beat the Chargers. Well, this is one of those classic look ahead. You know what it's like for these West Coast teams to travel
east. I didn't know the
Browns
were going to beat the Packers.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, those are the type of things that you have to look at, these classic look ahead games. We'll I don't know see. Who the Chargers have the following week, but I know they're coming off obviously a nice win the other night, and they've got an opportunity to travel across the country, play a game against the Giants, who are a total mess, and you're thinking to yourself, I'm not paying attention to them. They got a new quarterback, 21-14 Giants or something like that. We've seen these strange things happen before, and so if the Giants can go out there and do what I'm saying right now and beat those Chargers, Chiefs win, we got ourselves a ball game in the AFC
Could
West,
you imagine
friends.
The meme? You know the meme where it has the guy holding his girlfriend or wife's hand in the distance.
Oh, and yeah.
He's looking back.
Yeah.
Could you imagine if Dart beats the Chargers and it's Harbaugh looking back and Dart walking past? He's holding Herbert's hand.
Yeah, that's what it's going to be.
I thought you were into Justin.
I
was really into my wife, and then this one lady came around and got me starting to think, that's a sin, Carl.
Yeah.
Aaron Andrews' report on the sideline before the Cowboys game about Matt Eberflus, who used to be the Bears head coach.
Eberflus saying, I have a lot of knowledge about this team. I know their strengths, their weaknesses. I know how to cover them, and I shared that.
Make a name for themselves.
Third name, blitz coming. It's picked up. Williams has a man wide open. Touchdown, Adunze.
That's one.
To hear the Bears will flick to switch, trying to get a flea flicker.
Flea flicker.
There, Williams recovers.
Shout out Missouri.
Williams, fire. Dive, commit. Touchdown, Chicago.
That's three.
With the 10-point lead, there's definitely some margin of error. Fourth and goal.
Fourth and goal.
Looking. Pressure. Throws. Carr. Touchdown, DJ Moore.
I love
that guy sucks. I know their tendencies. I know how to cover them. Four touchdowns, all passing from Caleb Williams.
Yep.
Fourth and goal, flea flicker, third and eight. How you doing?
Gotta feel great for Caleb Williams.
That's the same guy that said he'd do it the same way. They gave him a double take after the Thanksgiving game last year. And then the next day they were like, hey, man, gave you a chance. You got to go.
Yeah, talk to you later.
I don't understand what the guy means by their tendencies. The Bears drafted 8 new players, signed 7 free agents, and had more additions. Like, a third of your roster turns over every year, regardless of whether or not you have a new head coach or not.
You think they're using the same
defensive
playbook?
Well, no, they're not using or the same offensive playbook.
Like, didn't
work. Nothing is the same up there. You may know the tendencies, but you don't know the tendencies of Joe Tooney, who was on the team last year, or Luther Burden, who wasn't on the team last year, or whoever else wasn't on the team last year. And it's a completely new offense. I think you saw right there why you don't hire people like Matt Eberflus to be the head coach of your organization. They're idiots.
More like Eberflus.
I mean, it really is. I mean, but that's why, though. I mean, we give out and we dole out these head coaching jobs because somebody called a good game. Again, I keep going back to that Bobby Slowicki guy who's nowhere to be found right now in the NFL. Oh. But he was a hot coaching candidate 2 years ago at this time. Everybody thought he was going to be the greatest of all time. And you hire these people who call one game that looks good, and all of a sudden we're going to anoint them and get the PR machine behind them to be these head coaches in the NFL, and it's just not that way. You have to be an adult, and Matt Eberflus, clearly, I mean, he doesn't know what's going on to be a head coach in the NFL.
This is where head coach, defensive coordinator, this is where Dallas ranks after 3 weeks
last
in the NFL in defense. 30th in yards allowed at 409.
Okay, that's worst defenses.
Passing yards allowed, 32nd, 288. Rushing yards, 17th, 109. Mm-hmm. And then points, they allow 30.7. That's 27th. And then third down, like their defense getting off the field, dead last.
Yeah, that's a that's a Dallas team that you look at and you say, that's a get healthy game.
Them on Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving,
eat,
yeah. I mean, that thing's probably over at halftime with the way that Dallas is playing.
And you'll have everybody back.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, that could be a slaughter fest down there in Dallas. I mean, like Jerry Jones seriously could leave at halftime and go finish his stuffing because that's a bad football team right now. And they got a big one this weekend. You know, obviously the game that a lot of people have circled, but this is potentially the last big one, if you will, for the Dallas Browns. Browns.
Before we get into the Dallas Cowboys this weekend, because there was a little bit of a noteworthy topic, there was one thing that went hand in hand yesterday, which made me kind of feel torn as a fan. So I am, like, I think I was texting you guys last night before the game started, the series of the season, right?
Yeah,
Detroit and Cleveland.
I was watching it last night. I was dialed in, man.
Better believe it. I mean, that was playoff baseball. That was...
Sure, your brother was, too, with the box, right? Dialed into the baseball game last night.
Yeah. So you had the big tank on Cleveland's side throwing. You had Tarik Skubal throwing on the other side. Hopefully Fry's okay. That was one of the scariest things ever. 99 to the face.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Squared up to bunt, 99 to the face. That... I would never
get in the box again.
I would never touch a baseball bat in my life.
Not a chance. Not a chance. No way in hell I'm getting back in the box after
that. But that game obviously started at 5:40 our time, so it started 3 hours before the Royals game.
Yeah, three whole hours,
that's
man.
Right.
Yeah.
Royals win, by the way, 8-4 or 8-5, something like that. But again, with that win by Cleveland, which then gives them the tiebreaker over Detroit, gives them the lead in the AL Central, eliminated the Kansas City Royals from playoff contention. So I can officially say as of September 24th, the Royals are not a playoff team.
Yep, they're out.
Well, we knew that already, Dusty. We sold you that back in August. Well, either way, they were in the picture, whether it was 15% or 0.01%. They officially were eliminated on September 23rd, 2025. I'll take it. Three weeks in the NFL season and finally got eliminated. But the bigger
story. Would you sign up for this every single year knowing that your team has a shot to the last week of the season? I would take that every single day, man.
Right. Well,
I don't know what the alternative is.
It wouldn't
be that way
if Cole Reagans could stay healthy, because that guy's just...
But you still got to find a way to get some offense. And so,
true. Oh, yeah, true. You know. And but no, that was like the hand-in-hand thing. So Cleveland wins, official, eliminates the Royals, and now we get to sit back and watch this just utter collapse of the Detroit Tigers. And to give you some of the numbers that have happened in this series since Cleveland has made this surge. So as of September 12th, how many days ago is that? 12?
Mm-hmm.
September 12th, the Guardians' odds to win the AL Central were plus 10,000.
Wow.
After last night, it's minus 185.
Yeah, they're going to win the division. I mean, you look at what the Tigers have done and what the Guardians have done over their last 10. Tigers have lost 9 of 10. The Guardians have won 9 of 10. And that's your difference right there. They're playing great ball. I mean, remember when they suspended that guy for gambling, we thought, oh, it's over for
Class
Cleveland,
A.
right? And and now they're, you know, in a Class A of their own. I mean they're dominating right now. And this comeback by the Guardians, the largest September comeback of all time. They were behind when the month started by 11 games. They were 11 games back. That's why when people say it was over or anything like that, it really isn't over till it's over, right? You just don't know what's going to happen. And when the month started 24 days ago, Cleveland was 11 games back, and now they're tied and own the tiebreaker. It's the largest division kind of, you know, comeback in September in the history of baseball. The Cardinals came back from 8.5 in 1964. The Reds 8.5 in 1964. The Twins 7 back in 2009. I mean, the Cardinals in 2001 were 7 games back. You have to go back to like the 1930s. I mean, this is the type of conversation we're talking about with this epic collapse by the Tigers. And I was talking to somebody last night in baseball. I'm like, who gets fired for this? They're like, no one, but there's definitely something wrong, obviously, you know, up there in Detroit. It's a two-sided coin for me, because in Major League Baseball, I think 162 is way too many regular season games. But we're seeing every one of these games matter, right? But if you cut this season down to 100 games, I mean, it's more of a sprint to the finish. I think teams like the Tigers that open these leads, and this is on them, this is no shame to anybody else, I think they got bored, Dusty. You have an 11-game lead at the beginning of September, and you're like, you're just playing out the string, and it's hard to get back in that mindset of, oh, we got to turn it on now and win. I think the Tigers are done as doornails, and they may win the World Series now.
Tortoise in the hair, man.
Yeah, and I think right now, like, if you're looking for the hottest team in the American League, it's Cleveland. I mean, that's the hottest team going into the playoffs right now.
According to ESPN, Detroit on August 25th held a 12.5-game lead over Cleveland. On September 23rd, the Guardians beat the Tigers to tie them atop the AL Central, and now on the tiebreaker, one of the greatest surges and collapses we've ever seen all over the course of less than a month.
Yeah, and the crowd last night was, sports. I mean, there were so many people at that game last night. It took like to the third inning for everybody to get in.
You should be there.
It was a playoff game last night. The crowd was great. The atmosphere was awesome. Like, That was just spectacular last night,
Mac,
man.
You know, Cleveland sets a record all time, sellouts at a home stadium for like did. 19 straight years. Yeah. It wasn't 19, but it was like a...
No, it was like four... It was 400 and some games. You'd have to look it up. It's remarkable.
But there's 81 games in a season. Yeah, so like 81, it was like six straight years. But I mean, they were pumping out some serious
but they
talent.
They were really good back in the 90s and whatnot. No, they never had that opportunity.
Yeah, it was the only time they were up 3-1 against Chicago Cubs.
Oh, man. 2016. Yeah,
right after the Royals. Wade Davis.
Wow.
Oh, you got to deal with him again. Sorry.
It's crazy to watch that thing just dissipate, man. Like if you are a Tiger fan right now, you're probably just sick to your stomach. And it begs the question, like, what would you rather have happen? Kind of being eliminated, you know, a few weeks ago, or having this heartbreak? This heartbreak sucks, man. If I were a Tiger fan today, waking up in Detroit, knowing that this just happened.
You text line and say, talk Lions.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'd want to punch myself in the face. Like, I can't believe this is reality.
Brutal.
That the Tigers have blown this kind of lead. And I just don't see them getting back off the mat, man. Once you get knocked down like this, it is hard from a mental standpoint to get everybody back.
Game 2 of 3 tonight in that series. Coming up on the other side, I agree with Jerry Jones. That's right, I said it. I agree with Jerry Jones, but not for the reasons maybe you would think. We'll talk about that next. Plus, we'll get into an impressive Patrick Mahomes stat as well. Here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is Nick Bolton, and you're listening to Fresco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Back into it on a Wednesday morning here on Fesco and Dusty with Bob Fesco, Mac Morey, and myself. Damn, glad to have you. Already Wednesday, man. I can't just emphasize how this is one of the greatest weeks probably in the history of my life. Ryder Cup, Oktoberfest, Blink 182, Baltimore, Kansas City, and you guys. It's been gotta maintain it. So yesterday,
you mentioned real fast in break, mm-hmm. like if the season were to end today, which it kind of is, you'd have Guardians and Tigers in round one and Yankees and Red Sox in round one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, say less. Say less, Bob.
I know that I'm hard.
Very much so. Especially being a baseball geek. Man, that'd probably be stationary TV patio Wednesday night, groggy Thursday morning, but I'd be like, man.
But I'll tell you what, dude. Look at the National League, though.
But see, that's where our schedule Fs, man, right? Because, those games will be, like, at 2:35 and 5:45.
Which I'm good with that, yeah.
Absolutely.
Well here's what we're going to have. We're going to have Detroit at Cleveland. Mm-hmm. We're going to have Boston at New York. Okay. Then, right now, in the National League, until the Mets, puke up all over themselves, they're going to go to L.A. for the first wild card. So you got Mets, Dodgers.
That's massive.
And then you've got Padres, Cubs. I mean, so, like, that's the outlier right there. The Padres, Cubs, while it could be the best series of the bunch, is the one that doesn't have any sort of juice around it. You got the Mets and Dodgers, which is obviously a rivalry, Cleveland and Detroit, and then New York and Boston, man. That is a crazy, crazy Major League Baseball playoff schedule.
What's even crazier are the two teams waiting.
Yeah.
On both sides. Because on the National League side, it's Philadelphia, Milwaukee.
That's right. Milwaukee's the one seed, which
Philly's,
is awesome.
Philly's a solid market, but Milwaukee, come on. Yeah. We can read it. And then on the AL side, who are the two teams waiting?
Seattle and Toronto. Yeah, Toronto's the one seed right now. Now that could change. Yankees are still there kind of nip and tuck with all of that.
Toronto just got Santander back.
Yeah,
so he's eligible to play as if he wasn't doing anything other this year. Mm-hmm. But I do want to mention this because this was kind of like this topic will brew throughout the week because Green Bay goes to Dallas.
Right.
And I thought that the two storylines that started this game off were Micah Parsons on what he's going to do if he gets a sack. Dak Prescott said it's going to hurt. That's what Micah's response was.
And he meant it's going to hurt him more than it's going to hurt Dak.
Right.
Yeah.
And then the other comment or story that came out of it was there will be no welcome back. There will be no, moment for Micah in Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Jerry's call. Now, I agree with this move from Jerry Jones for two different reasons. Number one, I get that Micah Parsons is fourth all time in Dallas's history for sacks with 52 in his first four seasons with them. But again, it was four seasons.
4 years. Yeah.
So it's not like he was Neil Smith for the Chiefs and went to the Broncos for 2.5 years in the Chargers or whatever it was, and then came back and played. Like, I would totally understand and would understand why it would merit. Welcome back, Neil Smith. It would hurt some people, but you'd still be like, that guy was here for the glory days. Respect to that guy. He played here for 9 years with the Chiefs, and then by year 10, he was with Denver or whatever it was. You get what I'm saying. But with Micah, it was like, one, it was a very short period. Yes, he was a very dominant player, a very well-known Dallas Cowboy. But the other reason why I agree that Jerry's not doing this is because I think we live in a different time in Dallas where I think the majority now, I would say almost 85%, I think there's probably still 15% of people like, you know, Jerry got us 3 titles and changed our franchise. Whatever he does, I'll trust him. It's like, come on, man.
You think it's 15? You think it's that high?
Maybe. I might be being really nice to Dallas fans. Yeah. But again, it's Texas.
It is Texas,
And I think the main reason is that there would be an uproar of applause. There would be a celebration celebrating Micah. And I think that when you look at something like this, that's going to do what to Jerry Jones? Make him look like an ass, make him look dumb, make him look, you know, pitiful. And there's one thing that like egotistical, narcissistic, rich billionaires don't want. And those are those three things. Mm-hmm. So props to him for doing this. I'm sure that he's got a lot of help in his PR department and his son, but the longevity wasn't there for Micah to get one of these.
Yeah.
And also
there was no success really there either.
Right.
You know?
And then also like in a moment of saving face, which is okay, I guess Jerry's doing that as well. So I think there are two different ways to look at that, but I also agree like, it wouldn't do it. Like it just, I just wouldn't do that. Like,
yeah. I don't think you do that. First of all, he didn't play there long enough. Second of all, he didn't win anything. People were comparing it to when Emmitt Smith came back as a member of the Cardinals and they gave a tribute to Emmitt Smith. The Cat won 3 Super Bowls in Dallas.
And he missed one game as a starter, or two games. And that's because he held out for a contract in 95.
And I'll never forget that year, 95 against the Giants on opening night. That guy destroyed the Giants. I'll never forget watching him in that game against the Giants. And I think I want to say he played with a separated shoulder or something at that point in time. It was an unbelievable performance by Emmitt Smith. But
this
he was
random. Did the Chiefs do anything for Tyreek Hill when he came back the first time? Because wasn't it that playoff game?
Yeah, I think it was the Miami. I don't think so. I think it was too cold for anybody to care.
Either way,
but like Tyreek didn't deserve a welcome back because of the way things ended and the way things left.
And he was here, what, 6 years? 5 years?
He was drafted in 16 and he left after the 21 season, right? So 5 years roughly here in Kansas City. Yeah. And they had obviously success. He'll go down as the greatest wide receiver in Chiefs history, in my opinion, as we sit right now. Obviously, who knows what the future holds. But the way that he left and the way that he kind of trashed the organization on the way out the door. And that's kind of where you are with Micah Parsons right now, I think, if you're in Dallas. That got ugly down there, man. That wasn't an acrimonious departure. That wasn't something that was, you know, fun. They were fighting, legit fighting in the media. Most of the time we thought it was Jerry just putting on a show, right? No, this was legit down there. And so I just don't think because, you know, we're in 2025, you know, we always want to celebrate every rando athlete. Like when these baseball teams post goodbye to somebody who pitched one inning for the team and you're like, thank you for your, you didn't do anything around here. We don't need to honor everybody that comes back to our organization, especially a guy who didn't, you know, win the championships down there. And then it ended the way that it did in Dallas, very, very ugly. And so that's why I think, you know, it's that way because it ended ugly. And also, again, it was a 4-year run. It was a blip on the radar screen. We don't have to celebrate every former athlete.
This isn't the NBA
that comes back.
Seriously.
Thanks for your 6 months.
Yeah, literally.
Thanks for your time. You pitched an inning.
You shot one ball.
Like, and so I'm fine with Dallas doing this. I actually support Dallas. I thought it would have been ridiculous had they did honor Micah Parsons.
Celtics fans gave Shaq a standing ovation.
When he came back as
Arizona, whatever.
It's like, what? Yeah. No, seriously. James Harden comes back to the Brooklyn Nets. Like,
thanks,
man.
Thanks for everything, James. No, you destroyed our franchise.
Yes, exactly.
You destroyed our franchise.
I don't know about that. But
among others.
Yes. Yeah. Well, of course, you were part of destroying our franchise.
For sure.
You're a key cog in this, you know?
Jay-Z.
Which, by the way, did you see the new dressing rooms that they put in that Barclays Center yesterday that they unveiled? They're all like Brooklyn brownstones. I mean, you got to look these things up, man. The dressing rooms for the acts that are going to come in there. I'm like, why do they care what the acts think of the dressing room? And like, well, we're competing against how many different venues in New York for the concerts.
Makes sense.
So they've created all of these. I mean, it is unbelievable.
Okay.
The locker rooms, the dressing rooms for these acts that they've created. It's insane. They put hundreds of millions of dollars into dressing rooms.
You agree that they shouldn't? You're on the same. Yeah,
for sure. This would be a bigger story if they did. This is a non-story to me. Yeah, of course they're not. I mean, Parsons is a great player, 3-time All-Pro, over 12 sacks every year was there, but it was 4 years. They didn't win anything. I don't know.
Yeah.
If he had won a DPOY, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, even then. But like,
Did he not win one?
No, I don't.
Who's going to win him in the NFC?
Well, Defensive Player of the Year.
Oh, it's both leagues?
Yeah,
counts.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, so Bosa's probably got one?
Yep.
Well, not this year.
Miles Garrett. No, Bosa. Yeah.
But also, too, when you look at what he did or did not do down in Dallas, to compare it to Emmitt Smith, I think, is a really a bad look by whoever was doing
ridiculous.
That. They also said Zeke Elliott got a tribute when he came back. He also played a very long time in Dallas, right?
Did you say Emmitt Smith's probably Dallas's main franchise player, or would you go Staubach?
Well, I said, I think it's still Roger. I do. I mean, like, he was the original, in the Navy quarterback. Back of the Dallas Cowboys. He's the reason why we look at every
Mount
Dallas
Rushmore
Cowboys.
Dallas Cowboys go.
Probably. I mean, I think
is Jerry
to,
on there?
Well,
seriously.
I mean, I don't know. I was just thinking players, but like, if you're taking Jerry's first 5 years, hell yes, he's on there. If you're taking Jerry's last 30, no.
Because what, it's Staubach? Aikman gets the boot.
Aikman.
Irvin's on there.
Yeah,
Emmett's on there. And Jerry's on there.
Irvin, Emmett.
Roger.
I mean,
Jerry.
But there's so many guys.
Too many teams.
I mean, look at all the Hall of Famers that the Dallas Cowboys have had over the years.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to pick, who they could have as, their Mount Rushmore. That's an interesting one. That's not an easy layup because the 70s and early 80s, I mean, they were dominating the NFL. I mean, they were the best team. It was America's team. And so they had a lot of great players, but 4 years does not make you a franchise icon
not
or anything like that.
And to your point with Zeke, it's up to Jerry Jones. That's his favorite guy.
Yeah, Zeke's one of his favorite players.
And
Zeke
was also there 7 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it ended on a better note.
Yeah, so this thing got ugly, man. Yep. Like, it got nasty. Yep. Like, what
Which
do
is
people
Jerry's
understand?
Fault, but...
Well, it's both of their faults, but I mean... But
it's 95%
Jerry. Yeah,
95%.
Yeah.
I'm giving it all to Jerry.
But. Yeah. But I mean, it takes two to get a deal done. Yeah. I don't know what was offered or what the conversations were and all of that kind of stuff.
They called him Michael.
Yeah. And then he called him Michael. Right. No, I'm not absolving Jerry for anything. But, I'm with you. I'm about 95% Jerry's fault, 5%
Bobby.
On the other side. But honoring that guy, I mean, come on. That would be like, I don't know, honoring Daniel Sorensen when he came back to Kansas City. Had some big plays, did some nice things. But we would welcome him back, I don't think.
I mean,
I don't know. I'd want a little like.
How long was Tyron here? And he banged the drum.
Yeah, 3 years.
Won a title, change
the
defense.
Won a title, change the defense. See, Tyron's it's different with
titles
Tyron.
Titles matter, though.
Titles matter, and what you did in that moment that you were here really matters. How you contributed to the team matters, too.
That guy called the entire fan base toxic and still was able to bang the drum.
He banged the drum, and everybody cheered and celebrated and whatnot. Now, this week, we get Priest Holmes, who's banging the drum,
makes sense.
He played about the same amount of time as Tyron Matthew did in Kansas
City. Crazy.
Played for both teams.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't even think about it from that angle.
Priest Holmes has the most unlucky career ever with a great 3-year stretch in Kansas City. Played at Austin for the Texas Longhorns. Gets hurt. Who comes in?
Ricky Williams.
What does Ricky Williams do? Win the Heisman.
Smokes weed. Yeah.
Then all of a sudden he goes to Baltimore. He's their running back of the future. Priest Holmes gets hurt. Who comes in? Jamal Anderson or Jamal
who the hell was
Jamal
it?
Lewis.
Jamal Lewis.
Jamal
that's
Lewis
who,
comes
yeah.
in. What does he do? Run for 2,000 yards because the best running back in Baltimore. Then he goes to Kansas City, where he has 3 very good years behind a great offensive line. Then what happens?
Gets hurt.
He gets hurt against Cincinnati. In comes in Larry Johnson, who then starts his career. So it's just everywhere Priest went, there was this guy behind him that was also but again, Priest Holmes was one of the best.
Such is the life of a running back NFL.
But think about
those three
guys that filled after you. Ricky Williams, still one of the best running backs I've ever seen play college football. Jamal Lewis, who was an absolute man. And then Larry Johnson ended very poorly, but still for a 3-year stretch, 27 was, dominant.
He was good. I'll always have a soft spot in my heart for Priest Holmes, too. He was the first guest that I booked when I got my job with KMBZ back in 2001, and we're out at OTAs, and I told the hosts, I said, we're going to have this guy on. They're like, we've never even heard of this guy. Why would you want to book him? I go, he's going to be very good for this team, because I had just come from Texas. There was a lot of talk about him in Texas and all that kind of stuff. But it was an afterthought. They signed him to a $3 million contract when he came. Nobody wanted Priest Holmes, and the Chiefs took a shot on Priest Holmes and gave him that opportunity to come here and then assembled that offensive line around him and turned him into one of the great running backs, you know, after like week six or whatever it was, where they finally realized, oh, this is our guy. But yeah, but I'll never I always remember watching him at practice. He would always run into the end zone. Every play, he would finish in the end zone, finish in the end zone. And I had a conversation with Vermeil one time. I'm like, he's so good. What makes him so good? He goes, he does what he does because he does what he does. And I'm like, okay, now tell me something normal. He goes, well, watch him every play. I go, yeah, he goes to the end zone. He goes, right, that's why he's great. He finishes every play in the touchdown. He does everything right. He does everything the right way. And that's what I'll always remember about Priest Holmes. He was a kind of a tone setter, a game changer, obviously, on the field. But his off-the-field work ethic, man, was insane. I mean, he's one of the most yoked dudes that I've ever seen. And so it'll be cool to see him up there. I didn't even think of the Baltimore kind of thing when they said he was banging the drum and all of that kind of stuff. And so I like that aspect of it. But, man, he was beautiful to watch for 3 years. I don't know that I've seen a smoother, more elegant running back in this franchise than Priest Holmes. He was just special.
Have you guys both seen Vegas Vacation?
Oh, God, yes.
You know the scene where Randy Quaid meets Wayne Newton for the first time? He's like, I'd die for you. And, like, pats his hair.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I was a cashier at a Price Chopper on Woods Chapel in 291, right there in the crosshairs.
And that's where they have the nicotine-flavored vodka.
Yep, UV. Oh. And he would come in early mornings on Saturdays. And I was always, my cashier schedule on Saturday was 7:30 to 12:30.
That's the bonus hour, man. When you're in the grocery store Saturday, 7:30 to 12:30.
Greatest schedule of all time. Fantastic. Because I'd come in at 7:30. I'd work till 11. I'd take a 30-minute break. So I'd go from 11 to 11:30. And then I'd have an hour left of the lunch rush of groceries coming through. And I was gone.
Yeah,
the day was over.
You kind of missed the rush. It's quiet on a Saturday morning until, that's a good shift.
So Priest would come in at like 8 a.m. Nobody's in the store. And I remember one time he had like this just like skin tight on the biceps shirt. It like had like the little bands in it or whatever that like crinkled up. And me being a weirdo, he comes to us like, oh man, you're Priest Holmes. He's like, yeah, man. I was like, thanks for everything. And he's like,
yeah, but what do you say though? You know who you are?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I was a 17-year-old, 2003. So 2006, I was 18. So like 15, I was 16 years old at the time. It was, you know, in the summer. And as he walked through, I'm just like, man, your biceps are huge. He's like, thanks, man, plastic. And I was like, all right, anyway. So we
he did that. Yeah, really.
I was just like, he was like, thanks, man. I was like, because I almost want to do like how Randy Quaid touches the hair. I want to like pinch the top of his bite. I was like, but that's goofy.
But I will say this, bag your own stuff, dude. Like there's nothing worse than I hate watching people stand there. Oh, you did?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, no, there was two
I thought he was talking to you like, you know, stop talking to me.
Me
bag.
And Doris in the morning and then her husband, they were just two retired
Doris
people.
Doris smoked, didn't she?
No, really?
Just wow.
They lived at John Knox Village. They went to, I think like a United Methodist
Widow
Church
Central,
Summit,
baby.
And just... Her and her husband worked every morning, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m., and she would cashier until I got there, and then he would bag for both
of us.
So,
that's just something to do to get out of the house at that point in time.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
And go gamble at the boats.
But if there's no bagger at the end of the line, do it yourself. Yeah. There's nothing worse than watching these boomers watch the guy bag their groceries while they hold up the entire line.
It's ridiculous.
It is boomer central watching these folks do this kind of stuff.
My job.
Bag your stuff, man. Help everybody out. We're living in a society.
Costanza. So speaking of Priest Holmes banging the drum against the Ravens, that is the game of the week, in my opinion. I know Dallas and Green Bay will have probably much more views for that game, which is a Sunday night standalone game.
Not a great slate.
Not a good slate this week. Not really.
Well, you have
all
those in the NFL. They set up their weeks on purpose, and then they give you a little lull, and then they get back at it.
Yeah.
And good college slate, though.
Very. And so with Mahomes and Lamar Jackson playing, this will be the seventh time they will play each other. Mahomes against Lamar Jackson in his career, 4-2 against him in the regular season with one win in the playoffs. Mahomes has not only like proven his resume throughout his career with rings and wins and playoff appearances and AFC championships and division titles and running out of breath, but Mahomes beats the elite of the elite. And I think that is a stat that gets talked about, but doesn't get really focused on, if that makes any sort of damn sense. But Mahomes, when you look at his playoff record, he's done it so much so you just run out of the same teams to play, but he's beaten really good teams. The only Achilles shield he has is running to Tom Brady a couple times and losing the Super Bowl and losing the AFC Championship game to New England. But he lost to Burrow, and that's his one loss in the playoffs to these elite quarterbacks. He is 12-9 versus the elite of the elite, which I would consider Burrow, Lamar, and Allen, right? We would consider those the three.
That's
Herbert
great.
Is making a case to be
yeah,
like,
Herbert's
hey,
starting
let me
to make
in
a case.
Room.
Yeah,
well,
he may look, he may knock Burrow out of the room. You know, this Heisman house that we see every weekend, right? There's a good chance that Burrow gets knocked out of the elite quarterback house because he's got the toe injury, man. You can't make the club in the tub. You can't be elite if you're toe Burrow.
Right. And so I think this is kind of one of those things where this is not necessarily like where you'll judge their careers because of playoff games, but this will be a game in which Patrick Mahomes will play Lamar Jackson again. And if he wins, he's 5-2 against him in the regular season and 1-0 in the playoffs. He is 3-3 versus Burrow. Again, started off 3 losses to Joe Burrow, but yep. then has won every single game since, one of them being an AFC championship game, kind of patched that up. Josh Allen, we know, regular season hero. He's 5-4 against Allen in the regular season, 4-0 against Josh Allen in the playoffs. And this is a
game. I can't believe they played almost an entire season against each other, too. They've played 13 times.
Well, look at Brady and Manning, man. That's why I say Mahomes and Allen is Brady and Manning of modern times.
Well, they played 9 times, right?
9 times.
He's 5-4 total overall. Like, they played 13 times already.
They're going to play they're going to play 10 times again this year.
Well, yeah, they'll play in the regular season. Probably will play in the postseason as well. You know, when it may be up in Buffalo, that's fine. We'll go up there and embarrass them and beat them in Buffalo. I have no worries at all.
Last game in that stadium
would be the Chiefs beating Buffalo in the playoffs. Oh, I'm feeling it right now, man. Yes. I am. Mac did the flex motion, and I'm just like, I'm feeling it now. Let's go. Man,
he did the
close Maloney. he's out there flexing, baby. Let's go. No, I love that scenario right now. That is the perfect dream scenario. AFC Championship game, Buffalo. Final game, Rich Stadium, Orchard Park, New York. It's a big deal. And the Chiefs come out victorious and they exact revenge.
I know that I'm hard. Patrick Mahomes wins this one in 12 seconds.
That's right. That's exactly what happened. And they still tell us that Patrick Mahomes is an elite, right?
Course,
well, who is he beating? Well, he did beat Josh Allen now twice on the road in the AFC playoffs, right? Yeah, but Joe Burrow's still better with a fur coat.
But let's not count our chickens before they hatch. You got to play this game Sunday against Lamar Jackson.
Right,
you win this game, you have then solidified dominance over Lamar Jackson. And it would be the question, like, can Lamar Jackson beat Patrick Mahomes?
It's
already going to be there today on your national shows because they'll start ramping up week 4.
Is he 1-5 at Arrowhead?
I
saw something about that or heard something about that. Lamar, I'm talking about. 1-5 at Arrowhead?
Well, they played 6 times and Mahomes is 4-2 against him and 1 win was in the playoffs.
That was in Baltimore.
That was the AFC Championship game.
So he can't be 1-5 then. I know where I saw that.
But he could be, you know, 1-4.
Yeah, 1-4 at Arrowhead. Yeah. I'm getting more excited about this game.
Because I know the game they won. That's the one where they looked at the sideline and Harbaugh was opening night and he goes, "Do you want to do it, Lamar?" He goes, "Let's go do it." And he ran it in.
Yeah.
And then last year they lost the opener, so we know those 2 losses. So we'll see what happens.
And then you had that big pass to Tyreek Hill in Mahomes' first year as a starter. The 4th and 7.
Or 4th and 9. 4th and 9 over the middle.
Whatever one went for 40. Tyreek
would have scored if he didn't have a bad
egg.
Oh, he's crazy. Yeah. He ran all the other side, threw over that Spencer Ware was your running back.
And that was the no-look pass game, too. Yes. And that wasn't even the best pass in that game. And then you're right. Spencer Ware was your running back. Yeah. And we're saying, we got to find a running back. Spencer Ware was our running back.
Take Spencer Ware.
You know what I would take?
Kendrick?
I'd take that offensive line that was in front of.
That's fair.
Damn right.
I'll take that offensive line that was in front of Spencer Ware, Mitchell Schwartz, Eric Fisher. Who were the guys in the middle at that point in time?
Mitch Morse was your center.
Mitch Morse was your center at that time. And then you had 2 guards.
Jeff Allen? Was he there yet? Or is he gone?
He may have been late. Yeah, Allegretti, I don't know.
Yeah, Nick Allegretti's playing great in D.C. too. That you start to look back at like losses that you didn't think were going to matter at the time. When he signed with Washington, I'm like, it's no big deal.
Yeah.
He's been playing great there. We could use Nick Allegretti in his coin collecting right now.
I forgot about the coin collector.
He's a big coin collector, Him and Binkley talked about quarters.
Sorry, I messed up. Binkley has sent me 15 text messages to let me know that Mahomes is 5-1 against Lamar Jackson.
5-1.
They're meeting for the 7th time now. Mahomes 5-1, according to
Jay. So that's the stat one, that he was 1-5 against Mahomes. There it wasn't at Arrowhead.
Makes sense. Yeah. Sorry, Jay, please forgive me.
Please forgive me.
Also, it is a Wednesday.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba, I'm loving it. Well, hello, everybody. Happy Wednesday.
So this thought came into my head because of the Philadelphia tush push and what Philadelphia has been to the Chiefs of recent, but also it brings up Cincinnati. The poll question today on the Fesco and Dusty poll on the Fan 965 on X, who do you hate more as a Chiefs fan? The Philadelphia Eagles or the Cincinnati Bengals?
That question and answer has changed in 365 days in a big way for me.
We will monitor that as well and come back and be joined by Jay Binkley here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty. Tune in to hear former Chiefs linebacker Derek Johnson every Monday at 7:20 right here on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan. Fesco and Dusty is brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Tobacco, football, and boobs. He knows Bobby Bowden. He knows Pete Carroll. He likes a 3-4 defense. He's Jay Binkley.
And he takes Tylenol. I kid. We're with Jay Binkley now here on 96.5 The Fan. Bink, I apologize for missing that stat. I added the playoff into the regular season instead of the overall, so I apologize for skewing that stat, my man.
Nah, Dust, man. I've been sitting here looking at that number this week or whatever. Yep. I was like, he hasn't lost to him twice, and he always smacks him around. He smacks around him and Josh Allen.
Hey,
nobody's business.
I have a really serious question for you. I understand that football reigns supreme in your life, but yes. So does the United States of America in golf. Sunday, the Ryder Cup, it's where it's 1v1, and it's Chiefs and Ravens at 325. Like, are you going to 2TV it, or does it matter?
It's going to have to be 2TVs, man. The Ryder Cup is
day, man. That's like Bryson versus Rory if they do it right.
It is unreal. Yeah, it's a sports dream this weekend.
Yeah, so, Jay, I'm just going to say this right from the jump. You sold me a bill of goods on this college football stuff last weekend, not a very big slate, but you're going to make up for it this weekend, right? We got a lot going on in college football from a big slate standpoint.
It depends. I mean, there were some good games on it, but, yeah, this is the best weekend of the year. Four games with ranked opponents where both teams are ranked. It's actually six because I think Washington, who's playing Ohio State, should be ranked. They are undefeated. And also Auburn fell out of the rankings, but we all saw they got screwed against Oklahoma, right? They had a touchdown, a scoop and score. It was not counted. Oklahoma hit a player that was supposed to
be I've never seen that before.
And
I'm watching that game, and they're hiding players on the field. Like, that was something I've never heard of. I'm surprised Belichick didn't do that.
And then Auburn's quarterback told the fans of Oklahoma, you wish you were me.
Then Oklahoma quarterback breaks his hand and is out a month. What a game.
Yeah, it's weird. And Sean Mateer, believe it or not, was the Heisman leader.
Yeah. Tell him who is now, Binkley.
Who is now is Fernando Mendoza, Dustman. Believe it or not, this is the quarterback of Indiana. He transferred from Cal, but I don't think you'd have to go back pretty far through history that the leading Heisman odds was Indiana quarterback.
Well, no, you do. The last time I think it was 1989 they had a runner up in the Heisman voting that year, and it was a running back. And I can't remember his name, but I did do a deep dive on this guy last night. He was played 3 or 4 years with Phoenix, and then it was over for him. But it's kind of cool to see Indiana in the middle of everything right now. But KU, Missouri, big wins for them over the weekend. Missouri's got this big star at their running back position. KU just destroyed, West Virginia over the weekend. Yeah. What are you thinking about the two locals right now? Because K-State, forget about it, man. You got other issues to worry about, like maybe having to fire your coach.
Yeah, K-State's got some main issues. They're coming off that bye and playing UCF this week. Who did hammer Bill Belichick in North Carolina last week with Bill Belichick's girlfriend walking on the sideline, which doesn't happen in football ever, and people are pointing it out. But Kansas looked good against West Virginia. They just hammered West Virginia. West Virginia was coming off a big emotional win off of Pittsburgh, their backyard brawl, their rivals in college football. They beat them in overtime. But that game was a no-doubter. I mean, you're not used to seeing Kansas just completely take another team out of the game early on immediately and just completely dominate them. Cincinnati comes to Lawrence this weekend. KU's 4.5-point favorites. KU's going to cover this game against Cincinnati. KU's a good football team this year. And Lance Leipold is throwing some gas, calling Cincinnati the best team they've played all year because they also played Missouri this year. But he's calling Cincinnati the best team they played this year. But on the other end, Missouri, they've got a running back named Ahmad Hardy.
Oh, never heard of him.
If you always this dude, he's like watching
Derrick
Henry.
Right? Like he's ran for 600 yards on 79 attempts, 7 touchdowns.
Yeah, he's great. He's the second leading rusher in the nation. He leads the SEC in rushing. He's had four straight 100-yard games for Missouri, including a 250-yard game. But if you watch him run, it's just nonchalant, just the stiff arm. Like, I haven't seen a college player stiff arm like Derrick Henry. Mm. But that is the – well, I've seen him do it, but not consistently. Like him, he just doesn't go down. He was going to score a touchdown. He comes out of the pile, his feet still – you know, off the ground, off the turf, and gets in the end zone. He was he's a true sophomore. He transferred from Louisiana Monroe, actually led the Sun Belt in rushing last year. This guy's one of the top running backs in the transfer portal. So he is good, and you're going to get to see him go on even next year. And Jamal Roberts from Missouri, that's a great 1-2 combination they have there. But Missouri with the big win over South Carolina in the Battle of Columbia's last week, where Missouri's now went 6-7 against South Carolina. But it's UMass. It's UMass this week for
UMass
Missouri.
Week, yeah.
Yeah, before bye week, before Alabama. And Alabama's played much better than that first loss they had against Florida State at the beginning of the year. So, you know, conceivably, Missouri does not go on the road until October 18th at Auburn. They could be undefeated heading to that matchup. But, yeah, the local schools have been fun to watch.
No doubt. Binkley, have you ever wanted to, like, choke slam anyone more than Brendel Chamblee?
yeah, there's probably a few people in there, Dustman, but he's up there. You know, you don't like him.
Not a fan. We're going to talk about him a little bit later on in the show, but I do want to talk to you about this Chiefs team because you get, you know, way more involved in like the X's and O's, which is why we love you, with especially the Character Concerns podcast. So the characters of concern, I want to ask you about more in concern with the offensive line or the defensive line for Jay Binkley.
You know, I think the offensive line and what they're doing, they've got to gel because Patrick Mahomes, that's the guy, man. I mean, yeah, the defense looked great the last couple of weeks. And the defensive line, you know, believe it or not, guys, the Kansas City Chiefs have 7 sacks this year. And although that's not many, we always think of the Baltimore Ravens as this vaunted defense. They only got 3. They're 29th in the NFL and getting to the quarterback. But the gelling of the offensive line and seeing Mahomes have to scramble, seeing Juwan Taylor jumps or false start, and just no continuity, seeing, you know, Creed Humphrey bounce one off his leg a couple weeks ago. But get that group together because this is for Mahomes. Because if this line gels and goes together, they can start drafting offensive skill positions to really bolster because they are where they're at. Because, as I said, they've had 31 picks. Draft picks the last 4 years, and only 7 of them have been offensive skill positions. And, of course, that's the 1 first-rounder, 3 second-round wide receivers, a 4th-round tight end, and 2 7th-round running backs. It's time to bolster that. But it all starts with a great offensive line up front from Kansas City. But they struggled. But they struggled last week, and they're going to struggle against aggressive pass rushers. That's one thing the Giants do have, you know, with Brian Burns and Dexter Lawrence in the middle and the way that they were using Abdul Carter, you know, at the off-ball linebacker and putting him around. But, yeah, I'm getting more concerned about the offensive line. But I'll say this, though. People are saying, well, is this Ravens defense going to work the Chiefs offensive line? Here's the one thing about the Ravens. This is not your daddy's defense.
No.
This is a big bundle of suck, as I like to say, defense. You know what? You know where the Ravens rank in the NFL? Number 32.
Yeah, they're last.
Number 32 defense. They're 31st against the pass. And you'll say, well, it's just an anomaly. It's early in the season, whatever. You know what Baltimore was last year in pass defense? 31. It was Baltimore than Jacksonville, the two worst secondaries in the NFL. So they haven't gotten better. They were 31 last year, 30 this year. They're 30 against the run. They have not been good. They give up a lot of sacks on the offensive line. They've given up 12 sacks this year. That's number 2 in the NFL. I know Lamar Jackson didn't get sacked very much, but that's number 2 in the NFL.
7 times on Monday Night Football.
Oh, yeah, it was fun 7 times in that. But this defense is not the same defense you're used to with the Baltimore Ravens. I mean, they've given up over 30 points twice. That's insane.
Sweet. Yeah, it's like Baltimore in name only here, man. Like, I think we see the Ravens and we think, oh, how is our offense going to get going against this defense? And then you do that deep dive in the defense and you watched them on Monday night and you realize that defense is not good. This is a get-healthy game, potentially, offensively for this team with how low they rank, you know, from a defensive standpoint. Like, the Chiefs have to do it this weekend against a bad defense.
No, they have to. And an offense, you know, they are scoring a ton of points, but, you know, they do run for 122 a game. Chiefs run for 108, as bad as that running game has been. But the one thing about the Ravens is that myth. It's one of those big myths. Sports has a lot of myths, you know. Mm-hmm. There's always that narrative that Patrick Mahomes is getting older in a dynasty, but he just turned 30 years old. It's a myth. The myth of the Ravens' defense is big and bad, and they're bullies. Well, they're number 32 in the NFL. They're not bullying anybody at this point. Matter of fact, the top two teams that people look at, Baltimore and Buffalo, Buffalo's defense is not that good either. I mean, we're talking about two teams that scored 41 and 40 first game of the year. Teams that give up at least 40 points in the first game have never won the Super Bowl, so that bodes well for both Baltimore and Buffalo. That's that. Love that one.
No doubt. Binkley, well, enjoy the game, enjoy the Ryder Cup, and enjoy the Paige Spiranek post that she will have in about 24 hours for you.
Every one of them, Dust Man. Keep sending them.
Yes, sir. Thanks, Jay.
Yeah, see you guys later.
It's Jay Binkley there for
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
Browns. You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Love it, man. You get it all right there. Stats, fun, big bundle of suck, and BBL stinky all at the same time. Ravens down bad, and an early lead doesn't matter anymore. Here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
BBL stinky.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty, brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues. Your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.